Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 7, we were taught that there is a great multitude of those that are saved through the witness of the 144,000 Jews that were sealed. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
So we've seen the great restraint in verses 1 through 3, and the great sealing in verses 4 through 8. Next, I want you to see the great multitude in verses 9 through 17. Now, verse 14 will show that this group is from the great tribulation that we see of this great multitude. And it's a great multitude which no man could number. Let us read verse 9, where it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands." Now, these are they who were influenced by the 144,000. Now, remember, the 144,000 preach, and multitudes are saved. That is, after the rapture. The truly saved, those that were saved before the rapture, are raptured. Those left behind that had never heard the gospel or never been under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they will have an opportunity to be saved, but it will be at great price. Now, when it says about this multitude that no man could number, refers not to impossibility. Rather, it could not be counted by a man in a moment of time. Just remember, God is all-knowing. And it's a great multitude of Gentiles. Now, this chapter is scriptural. It's to the Jew first. That's why we must not forget the Jew in our prayers, as well as in our missionary programs. Just because they're Jews doesn't mean they're saved, and they need the gospel, and they will hate our gospel. Recently, an agreement was made with Rome and Israel that Rome would agree not to evangelize the Jewish people. And Rome's probably not interested in evangelizing them. They're just interested in making them a part of their world religion, their ecumenical movement. But nonetheless, we as fundamental Christians, we are interested in evangelizing Jews. We want them to be saved. Now, whereas the 144,000 are protected from death, these are not. But this great multitude saved during the tribulation are not ones whom the Holy Spirit convicted before the rapture, and they rejected it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we read this, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, when he says believe not the truth, it does not mean that they didn't think that the truth was a fact. But what it means is they were not willing to repent. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. They realized that not believing the truth, in other words, believe in the idea of the word faith, of to rely upon, to turn to. When you're turning to, you're turning from something. And they didn't want to turn from the pleasures of unrighteousness. They didn't want to repent. And throughout this book of Revelation, you'll see many times where it says, yet they repented not of their deeds. They would not repent. They would not be saved. There are those that are preaching easy believism today. They tell you, no, you don't need to call on the Lord and you don't need to repent. Just believe. And isn't it interesting how Satan can confuse people? And I find that that doctrine, about every 20 years, reappears and deceives many. Don't let it deceive you, my friend. Don't be taken in by that false teaching. Now, verse 9 here that we just read, here of Revelation 7, shows us also that there are palms in their hands. And that speaks of a palm tree branch, which was of a special significance to the Jews. It was used often in worship. The palm tree had a straight trunk and abundant fruit, which is an emblem of righteousness. In Psalms chapter 92 and verse 12, it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And there you see, again, the use of the palm tree in a good way. And the beauty of the palm is compared to the beauty of a woman. In Song of Solomon chapter 7, verse 7, it says, thy stature is likened to a palm tree. Now, don't go home and tell your wife she looks like a palm tree. She may not understand, okay, in the culture of Israel that day, to say that to a wife, that her stature is likened to a palm tree, was a great compliment. In Hebrew, the name Tamar meant palm, and it was a name of beauty. It was the name of David's beautiful daughter that Amnon defiled. The palm tree was used as a symbol of celebration, as in the Feast of Tabernacles, in which they would, after gathering in the harvest, would make booths of the palm branches. And they called these booths tabernacles. And they would sit in the booths and remember that the abundance was because God gave victory and deliverance out of Egypt. Now, we have Thanksgiving in this country, and I think too often we forget to thank God by reminiscing and actually seeing His hand at work in our lives. We need to be thankful for the grace of God which has been given us, and that in everything we are enriched by Him. We need to be thankful because He will confirm us unto the end, that we may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our things for which we're thankful have lasting, eternal results. We're thankful that He's not only faithful to us, but that He has actually called us into fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Personal fellowship. And to think that Jesus is made unto us and for us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So, my friend, we need to glory in the presence of the Lord. He alone is our glory. He alone is our praise. No, you don't need a palm tree. You don't need a palm branch. But be thankful for the Lord. Now, the palm was also used to honor a conquering king returning from battle. The Pharisees were greatly offended when Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the people cried, Hosanna, and they used palms. Why? Because they gave honor to Him that should be given to the Messiah. And the Pharisees rightly saw that it was as worship. But Jesus is worthy of all worship. That's why He told the Pharisees, if they had not done that, the rocks would immediately cry out. By the way, if you're saved, we are the bride of Christ. We are like palm branches, that is, the vessels of our bodies. They should be used in praise of Him. especially when we think of the great victory that he has attained for us. You say great victory? Oh, yes. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, my friend, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, even in these days, where evil men wax worse and worse, where all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and iniquity abounds. Oh, your labor, according to the will of God, is never in vain. Just keep standing for Him. Now, we also see the palm was used to describe the beauty of a woman, as we had said earlier. And in calling us the bride of Christ, we notice this from Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, I have performed many, many marriages, and I've seen people put out thousands of dollars on the bride's side of the equation for the decorations, for the clothing, and things of that nature. Bridal gown may cost as much as $1,000 or more. And, boy, there's a lot of money that goes out for that from the bride's family. But here's something unusual. The Lamb, the groom, he makes sure that his bride is arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And everything that we have is from him. We are clothed with his righteousness. And there's never been a bride on earth that will be clothed nearly as well as what we will be in heaven. My friend, the rags of this earth, the things that look like what rich men would wear, will seem like pauper's dress when we're robed in his righteousness. And he says in verse 9 of Revelation 19, And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. We should therefore see that our lives, as the palm, should be used in praise for the Lord. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.